That's Terry Seide. Williams had tried to open up the hole for Seide.
Okay, we're back in. Just had to do a simple change of headsets. There's one particular headset that causes havoc with one computer, so it's a simple technical glitch that Mrs. Smith detected.
All right, let's see if we can resolve this. A little vamping while we're on the air, but so be it. Beverly High School Marching Band is down, getting ready to come up with their free game. Warm-up festivities here as well, and we have talked to both coaches earlier in the week. We'll hear from both of them. Beverly comes in at 0-2, and Malden comes in at 0-2. Beverly has scored 35, given up 51, and Malden has scored 23 and given up 8.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender. MSONewsSports.com is your connection to North Shore news and sports. Local video and radio interviews, photos, and much more. And a daily local radio newscast on North Shore Today. Bill Manchester, head football coach at Malden, joins us here on MSO News Sports. And Bill, you're in Beverly today, the 0-2 Panthers at home. You know, I don't think I'd want to bring my team there at this time. It doesn't seem like a great time to arrive in Beverly, to be honest with you.
No, I actually was at their first game against New England, and they were down 20-0. And I knew they were a good football team, and I was getting ready to leave. And then, of course, they started playing great, and I had to stay until the end of the game. So I know they're a tough team. I know their record doesn't show how good they are, and anytime you go to Hurd Stadium, it's going to be a tough game. And we're a young team at Malden. We're trying to still learn how to play at the varsity level this year, and our kids' efforts are great, but they have to continue to get better and better to be able to battle with these guys.
Well, I've talked to a couple of coaches already this fall, Bill, and they're both saying, you know, a couple of them said, we're very young, and they have the stats to bear it out. So now, how young are you guys as far as, you know, starters and underclassmen and so on?
So just coming back from last year's team, we were 5-6 last year. So we have three returning starters on defense and zero starters on offense. So it's been growing pains this fall so far, but the thing I'm most proud of, the attitude and effort has been great. And we've had some of our best practices this week. So that's a good sign. But as you know, varsity football is much different, where you have to know what you're doing in multitude of different situations. And that's just where the guys sometimes are a step away, two steps away, and hopefully they can catch up to the speed of what we're seeing.
Well, and obviously consistency and experience, and that's a factor of experience and so on, that all plays out. And with a young team, that's
That takes a while to develop. Well, if you were to tell me about your offense, Bill, although there are no returners to offense for Malden from your club last year, who are some of the key players you're counting on?
Yeah, so we have some, again, new faces, guys that played a little bit last year, but probably our first, Edward Bazile. He's a senior captain for us. He's tiny, 5'7", 160 pounds, but he'll almost always be one of the top athletes on the field. And he's one of our big playmakers, and he's exciting to watch. Our quarterback this year is Jose Monteiro, another senior. Again, getting the grasp of the offense. He didn't get much reps at all last year. Quarterback, he played some wide receiver, running back, and tight end for us, so that's new. One of our running backs, Cameron Williams, big bruiser, can run, has some great speed. He also plays middle linebacker for us. But we're looking for him to make some big hits for us this weekend. Our other running back is a junior, Reggie Charles. Saw some time as a kick returner last year. Same thing, explosive. Still getting used to the speed of the game as fast as he is, but we're waiting for him to have a big breakout week this weekend. And then a sophomore, Terry Saeed, came to us from St. Clement. They closed their school and he's a Marlin resident. And same thing, new offense, new league, new everything. So he's kind of been getting his feet wet, but again, a strong runner and looking to hopefully put the whole package together this week. And I actually left off our tight end, Rashad Moore. He's a junior captain for us, and he had his first touchdown at the varsity level last week. Great hands, great size, and just been a real consistent blocker for us as well. So looking just to get these guys on track and everyone on the same page.
How about a very similar question asking you about your defense and your key players there?
Yeah, as I said, Cameron Williams, our middle linebacker, has been unbelievable for us. We put a lot of pressure on him because we're not as big up front, and he continues to shine there. Rashad Moore has been playing great for us as a defensive end, really strong. We ask a lot of him, and he's been able to handle that. And then Edward Bazile, same from the offense. Him and Reggie have been our corners and been doing a great job for us. And I hate to play our quarterback on defense, but Jose is so talented that I have to play him on defense. And when he's on the field, he always seems to be around making plays. So we just don't have a lot of depth. If he ever got hurt, and I'm sure I'm like every high school coach in Massachusetts that says that, where you just got to kind of say, oops, he's got to go on defense. So and again, our defensive line, offensive line, undersized, and we just don't have a lot of them. They're working their butts off, and every week they're getting better and better. So puts a lot of pressure on other positions, but I think we're slowly getting there.
Bill, I imagine you saw film or a video of the Gloucester-Beverly game, in which Beverly got tagged with their second loss. The Gloucester defense just seemed to be very effective in things that they were doing to Beverly. So kind of a different type of game than their first game as they struggled offensively in the second game.
Yeah, obviously Gloucester had some speed and some size that was able to slow down Beverly again. Obviously, Beverly wants to punch right in the nose and with that back eye and their multiple eye formations and run right at you. And, you watch what Gloucester does and say, hey, we need to do that. Now it's a tough task if you don't have the size or the speed to match up, but hopefully we can match up with Beverly's line. I feel that Beverly, their line does a really nice job. Once they got on track against Glen English, and they even had a lead, I think, what was it, 15-13 at one point, so they did some good things against Gloucester early, but then Gloucester was able to limit them towards the end of the game. So
yeah.
definitely a hard offense. Because their backs run really, really hard, and they have some receivers that can hit them the ball, they're going to make plays. So everyone's got to be on their toes at all times.
Yeah, and their quarterback Nick Berry had a very good game against Lynn English. As when you unravel all the stats, the summary of the stats in that game. Well, we're talking with Bill Manchester, football coach at Malden High School. Bill, anything else you want to share with us about Malden football this year?
No, just looking again, it's been great to be in the NEC again. We know, I as a coach know that the talent is great. The coaching's unbelievable. So we got to be ready week to week. We're excited to be at Hurd Stadium. It's the only time a lot of these kids will play a varsity game on a grass field. we practice on turf. We play and scrimmage almost all the time on turf. So it's kind of a new experience for some of our guys. But again, it's a great atmosphere on a Saturday afternoon, and we're looking forward to hopefully playing our best football and putting it all together this week.
All right, great. Bill Manchester, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Malden High head football coach Bill Manchester with us here on MSO News Sports.
I'm Jimmy Kearns for MSO News Sports, and this is Panther Preview with Beverly football head coach Andrew Renzi, brought to you by the Gloria Food Store, 268 Rand 2 Street in Beverly. For the best in deli meats, calzone, party platters in the area, it's the Gloria Food Store. Coach, 0-2 to start the season. I don't think that was an expectation.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We knew we had two good teams coming out at their place. You know, we played them both tough, and, you know, they were close games and fought till the end. We just didn't have enough. So, you know, on the one hand, you know, obviously it's on how you plan it, and we're disappointed. But on the other hand, we certainly have played some iron early and showed that we can play with them.
You know, I read the article in the Salem News today with the captains talking to Phil Stacey, I believe it was, and their determination to get it done this week, and you could tell there was just a little disappointment, but no quit and all determination for Saturday's game.
That's right. You know, these are a good group of captains, a good group of kids. They were hard workers. They understand the expectations playing at Beverly and the football team, and they worked really hard this offseason. And so they're disappointed, no doubt, but it's also made them want, you know, that first W even more. You know, we came out this week, we've had a great week of practice, probably our best so far. So there's some positives, and, you know, we know that this week at home, finally, after a month on the road, is going to be something we're looking forward to.
Beverly being down 0-2 to start a season doesn't always bode for a bad season. Offense, in the past, it's ended up in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, you never know. It's high school football. Our offense has been able to move the ball. Defensively, there's no doubt we have to figure things out a little bit and maybe reevaluate, which we have. We plan on coming on a Saturday ready to, you know, kind of show, you know, truly what this team is made of and what we can do, you know, when we're consistent and don't make mistakes.
Any changes you can talk about in either the preparation or game planning for this week?
Well, I think that, you know, preparation-wise, we did more than we've done. We'd win a little bit more contact than we've done in the past. We've actually moved a couple kids, you know, here and there. But, you know, we're not ready to throw everything out yet. We feel like we definitely had played well enough at times during these first two games to show that we have the potential to be a good football team. We just have to do it for four quarters.
What do you know about Malden?
Malden's athletic. I know that they came out and they, you know, they had a couple tough games and they didn't, you know, perform too well. But I know that they have talent. I know that Coach Manchester is a good coach. And I know that they're going to probably come out looking like us for their first W.
Great. Okay, Coach, I know you're headed to the practice field. I want to thank you for your time. And good luck on Saturday. I'll talk to you after the game.
Thanks, Tim. I appreciate it, buddy.
Great. All right, that's been Andrew Morenzi, head coach of the Beverly Panthers, with this week's Panther Preview brought to you by the Gloria Food Store, 268 Rantoul Street in Beverly.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Home opener here at Hurd Stadium in Beverly. Good afternoon from Hurd, where it is sunny, a little bit breezy, very comfortable here. If you're over on the sun side, you're going to be very warm, and if you're here in the shade, you might get a little bit of a chill breeze. One comment about Hurd Stadium this year, Tim, is that the grass came in very nicely on the seating berm around us here on the Beverly side of the field.
Yeah, last year was a little dirty and rocky, but this year it is a soft, comfortable, lush lawn, and it's perfect for high school viewing.
Yes. So this is the opening game, the home opener for the Panthers. It's also the season opener in terms of the conference schedule. Both teams are 0-0 coming into this one.
Yeah, this is time to set the ship on the correct course. Beverly, because coming in 0-2, so we'll see what transpires. This is a great opportunity for them to again.
All right,
put themselves in the right direction.
We will have the opening kickoff coming up next. You're listening to High School Football from Hurd Stadium on MSONewsSports.com.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We have wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
A great way to monitor what's happening on the North Shore, get the MSO New Sports app. A click here, a click there, you're listening or watching North Shore football. And check out the latest stories on our webpage, msonewsports.com.
Elsewhere in Northeastern Conference North football, Winthrop is at Swampscott. That game is underway, so we'll have updates on that throughout this afternoon. Medford is across town at Danvers. That game was set to kick off as well right now. Greater Lawrence and Hamilton Wenham played earlier this morning. Another action. Fenwick is at Pentucket this afternoon. Pope John is at St. Mary's. That game will be tonight, and St. Mary's looking for the trifecta in, actually the quadruple fecta, I guess it is, quinfecta of wins for the Lynn teams. And this afternoon at 4 o'clock here on MSO News Sports, we have Everett at St. John's Prep in the opening of Cronin Field and Fred Cronin Stadium and Fred Glatz Field.
I was going to say, can we unplug that machine?
Yeah, that's not us this time.
No, it is not.
Beverly Tri-Captains, Nick Berry, Clark Marchand, and Nick Gonzalez out for the coin toss. Coach Bill Manchester from Malden has brought up 12 of his JV players as well, and has an impressive line of players across the far sideline when they make their way onto the field. Beverly's team stretches from the 35 to the 35. And we'll wait for the coin toss here. Bright sunshine, a marked difference to what we saw last night over in Lynn, where the wind was certainly a factor, the rain was certainly a factor. How many times do you see overtime, safety, two field goals? Granted, it was two different games, but it was just indicative of the conditions there.
You know, as you mentioned last night, two high-powered offenses totally shut down, not only by the opposing defense, but also by the weather. You know, the center exchange for Lynn Classical was absolutely atrocious last night. Ridley had to pick the ball off the turf on nearly every center snap in the shotgun formation. And at one point, the running back actually just picked the ball up himself and went for about a 7-8 yard gain off the left side.
It is halftime over at Bloxwich Field in Swampscott, and Swampscott has a 14-0 lead over Winthrop there. Throughout the game, the scoreboard updates are being brought to you by Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
You know, you can never tell who actually wins the toss.
This
both
is true.
Teams go absolutely crazy.
Yes.
Once the toss has been made and the referee is told on the head to the sideline.
There was, at one time, a couple of high school fields in the North Shore where they used to mic the referees.
Oh, really? Well, that had to be a little bit interesting.
Yeah, it was here, yeah. And I don't remember if the other field was Salem at one point or not, but I do seem to recall that.
Phil Stacey's sitting alongside of us, and he'll be updating us with scores throughout the game. He'll also be my halftime guest talking about the goings-on within Northeast Conference football. And say hello, Phil.
Hey,
Phil, of course, the executive sports editor of the Salem News.
Executive sports editor?
Yes.
I didn't realize he had that
yes.
title. Phil, really? Executive sports job? They pay you any more money for that title?
Wow, hey. It's a good thing.
Oh, I should have become an executive teacher. I don't know. Okay, what am I doing here?
Beverly will have the football to start this game, or they will receive the opening kickoff anyways. Clark Marchand and Amir Al-Sharafi. Back deep to our left as Beverly will move from left to right. When they go on offense, we will Nick Berry and Ryan Barrer. We'll see quarterback activity this afternoon.
It would be a really good thing if they could make these remote speakers and put them on the other side of the stand. You know,
Bluetooth
so we're coming
speakers.
At us. Rather than right on our top of our heads, on top of the metal crate, because it just reverberates right through me. All right, on tap today we've got Everett versus Pope St. John's, Marblehead at Peabody, Marlin at Beverly, Winthrop at Swampscott as noted, Medford at Danvers, Greater Lawrence at Hamilton, Wenham, and Bishop Fenwick at Pawtucket. And we're moments away from kickoff.
All right. You put the roster down, we'll be golden. Set for the opening kickoff here from Heard Stadium. Art Kososki set to approach the football. Gets his toe into it, and it is a high end-over-end booming kick. And it comes to Al-Sharafi at the 15-yard line, up to the 20, the 25, cuts left, still on his feet at the 30, the 35, and finally dragged down at the 39-yard line. So a nice return of about 24 yards for Amir Al-Sharafi, which sets up good field position for the Panthers as they will go on offense first and 10, moving from our left to our right.
Well, I'll tell you what I liked about that return, Marty. He got the ball and went right upfield. You know, he got ahead of steam going. He was able to blow by a couple of coverage men until he met the teeth of the coverage team. But he gives his team great starting position because of that just determination right up the middle.
Bill Woolley over the ball for the Panthers. Nick Berry at quarterback. Takes the snap, goes the big pitch around the backside for Clayton McAlpine. McAlpine turns corner right side and gets back to the line of scrimmage. Maybe a gain of a yard, went all the way from the left side of the field to the right, turned up field, but there wasn't a hole for him, and the gain is one. Second down and 9 for Beverly. Nick Gonzalez, Ben Ames, Billy Shaw, Paula Fife. On the offensive side, Evans Blanc, Kevin Sfilius, Rochelle Hippolyte, Tyler Martineau, and Rashad Moore. On the other side of the football for the Malden Golden Tornadoes, looking to pass is Berry. Instead, hands it off to Marchand. Marchand turns the corner right side down over the 40 to the 30 to the 20. Has one man to beat down at the 10-5. Touchdown. No flags. Second play from scrimmage, and the Panthers have gone on top 6-0.
Well, he got the corner. I wasn't sure he was going to have enough room to get along the sideline, but he found it, and he went straight line. And then at about the 30-yard line, he put a deke on the defensive back, Mike Garasho, and cut inside on him, and there was nobody left to touch him from there on out. Explosive start for Beverly to start this game.
Yeah, second play of the possession, second play of the football game. And Beverly lines up now. Looking to kick. Jack Laganis will kick out of the hold of Pat Parsons for the Panthers. There's the snap. It's down. The kick is up. And it is good. And Laganis' kick is good. And we move to 7-0 Beverly, with just 58 seconds gone in this football game.
Well, that certainly puts, you know, Malden in a big hole right off the bat, and now the offense has to try to come out and respond. Key here, stick with the game plan. It's only one score. And again, it's no time off the clock virtually. So you've got the entire game to move the ball, to get into your offensive rhythm, and to meet the challenge. You don't have to do it all at once in one big play.
Beverly will be kicking the ball off after this touchdown. Jack Laganis will kick the ball off of the tee at the 40. And he will be kicking
Downfield to Edouard Bazile on the far side, and that's Reginald Charles to the near side. They're both back at the 10-yard line. Step up. Leganis puts his foot into it. Another high end-over-end kick. Plenty of hang time. Bounces at the 18. Picked up there by Charles, and Charles gets up to the 20, to the 22, and that's it for him. So the return is about 4 yards for Reginald Charles, and it's first and 10 for Jose Montero and the Golden Tornadoes at their own 23-yard line.
Jake Doyen really put a pop on him, sent him to the ground. He was trying to tiptoe his way through the coverage at the first level of coverage as it got down there. But Doyen came in and just put a pop on him and sent him sprawling.
Interesting, at this time of the year, we're 3 weeks into it. It's the Beverly home opener. They only have 3 home games here at Hurd Stadium. They'll see Danvers and they'll see Somerville later in the season. Of course, Thanksgiving is in Salem this year. The only other way they get a 4th game is depending on the playoff matchups, and you only have to have a 500 record to make it into the playoffs in a 5-team conference. Here's Montero. Gets under center. Tyler Martineau at center. Yep, Montero takes the handoff, rolls it off right side, spins around. With it is Bazile. Bazile has it, will get pretty decent yardage up to the 30-yard line.
Yeah, they did a good job of getting outside. And again, you know, 5 yards in a cloud of dust keeps the ball moving. This grass looks just so lush out there, Mark.
Yeah.
You know.
Can I hire them?
Oh, yeah, exactly. But you know what? I was talking to you before the game. Looking at the grass area, the seating area down in front of us, the field itself, going over to the Cooney Field. Cooney Field grass is immaculate over there. So kudos to the park department who take care of the fields. I know they have a dedicated crew.
Second and 5 for Montero. Hands the ball off, trapped in the backfield. With it is Terry Seide. And Seide will be dropped back for a loss of about 2. The backfield is Cameron Williams, Reggie Charles, and Terry Seide. The wides are Rashad Moore and Ed Bazile.
Nick Gonzalez on the tackle there. Real sure-handed tackle. Wrapped him up around the upper legs there and just held on. Wrestled him down.
Evans Baptiste, Gandy Luis, Matt Figueroa, Kevin Filius. The rest of the offensive complement. Paulo Feisch, Ben Ames, Clayton McAlpine, Bobby Adams starting on defense for Salem. Tyler Martineau is a rather large human, 6 foot, 370 pounds, playing at center. So you're...
Phil, he's making us look small.
Right. So handoff comes around for Bazile on the left side, tries to cut back right, gets to the hash mark, and gets up to the 32-yard line where he'll be short of first down yardage. He'll be short by a yard. It's 4th and a long yard as Bobby Adams gets credit for the tackle. And we have an injured player for the Panthers down on the field with 8:01 to play here in the first quarter, and Beverly on top by a score of 7-0. So we'll take timeout here with timeout on the field for the injury. You're listening to Beverly and Malden on MSONewsSports.com.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore. Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Injured Beverly player is sitting up and being attended to by the training staff and head coach Morenci out there with him. And the officials are also multitasking. They're called for a measurement here on 4th and short. And as soon as we get the injured Beverly player off the field, they will stretch the chains out. Nice hand here
for the individual, and he'll stretch the chains, and we'll see whether we have a first down for the Golden Tornadoes or whether they will find themselves with fourth and short and a decision here early in the first quarter, 8 minutes and 1 second. But Malden finds themselves on the short end of a 7-0 score. The short is short by a yard and a little bit more.
You know, I was looking at Brazil as he's walking back to the huddle after that last carry, and they list him at 5'7", 150.
Oh, my.
I think they're stretching him both ways on that one. But, you know, he's so small and thin, he's able to dart.
Yep.
And sidestep a lot of guys trying to grab for him. And we saw some of that last night in both games.
Fourth and a long one for Jose Montero and the Malden Golden Tornadoes.
What a great name, though.
Golden Tornadoes.
Sounds like a Midwest team. It should be like out in Iowa or somewhere like that.
Montero is going for it. Has his ends in close. No, there's a single wide to the near side. Motion man comes near side. Montero just bowls his way through. And I think he's got first down yardage. Of course, when you're running behind Taylor Martineau, he's going to clear a lot of real estate for you, especially in these short yardage plays.
Yeah, and that's
false start against Malden. So it doesn't matter. It'll come back, and it'll be fourth down and a long five.
Coaches just hate to see that. You know, you get this, you get a little antsy in that situation. You got shot down. You know your quarterback's going to keep it, and you're just trying to help make that hole, so you jump just a little early.
An unfortunate turn of events for the Golden Tornadoes.
We saw that last night, North Reading, deep in English territory, at like a 2-yard line, and they took a motion penalty.
Mm-hmm. Amir Al-Sharafi back at his own 38-yard line, anticipating this punt in punt formation, fourth and five. A lot of instructions being shouted in from the Beverly sideline directly in front of us. Snap right into the hands, the punt. Good height, good hang time, and it's going to bounce at the 40 and took a little bit of a Malden bounce, actually, off of one of the Malden players. So it will go down at the 43-yard line, and it'll be first and 10 for the Panthers from their own 43 on a 31-yard punt with no return. And 6:53, clock stopped here with Beverly on top by a score of 7-0. Later here on MSO News Sports, we invite you to join Bill Newell and John Squires from the about-to-be-newly-named Fred Glatz Stadium, Fred Glatz Field at Cronin Stadium over in Danvers, as the Crimson Tide face the St. John's Prep Falcons. St. John's Prep.
I met Fred Glatz in 2009. We were both doing cardiac rehab over in Danvers. Oh, my God, what a funny man. Oh, he made that rehab so much fun.
The play does not go as Beverly takes a 30-second timeout before the snap of the football, so it'll still be first and 10 from their own 43. Nick Berry, at quarterback, comes in, saw something that he did not like in the defensive alignment. They've kind of cheated Brazil up. Actually, both corners have moved up, and just two safeties back at around the 50. That's Montero and Mike Goroshko. Backs in the eye now with Clayton McAlpine and Amir Al-Sharafi. They give it to Al-Sharafi. He high steps up over the 45, up to the 47. Dropped at that point by Rashad Moore.
I'm waiting for that for the Marshawn to split out and for Coach Marencio to call for that slant, because they used that the first week and against Lynn English, and it went for a touchdown. I mean, it was just an exciting, almost a blast play. It was happening so quick.
Second and six from the far hash mark, the left hash mark. Beverly with the pair to the near side. Everybody tied on the other side. You can hear the coaching staff from the far side shouting the instructions. Give the handoff to Clark Marchand, and Marchand gets close to first down yard. It should be short by a yard. Up over midfield, down to the 47. Yeah, just about less than a yard, I would say, from here. So third and short. That'll bring out Clayton Marchand for the Panthers after carrying that ball. First out of the huddle is Bill Hooley.
gets down over the football.
The grassy knoll is filling in nicely here. Fans coming in with blankets and everything.
Short yardage. Backs. Three backs in the eye behind him. Fake the handoff. Looking to throw is Barry. Airs it out long downfield. It is complete. No, incomplete.
Ugh.
He went down. Was a little bit short. Bobby Adams was the receiver at the 30-yard line. Caught it going away, and his feet came out from underneath him, and he just couldn't control the football.
He had it all the way down. When his back hit the turf, out popped the ball. I think he got a little, thinking he had the catch, and he loosened his grip on the ball, and the ball just popped out with the impact. But if that ball was thrown probably 2 seconds earlier, that was six.
Fourth and short. Beverly. Going to just power ahead on it and push the entire pile down to the 45 as Nick Berry on the quarterback keeper gets three, and it's down to the 45-yard line. First down for the Panthers, first and 10 from the 45-yard line now of the Malden Golden Tornadoes.
That was a great-looking scrum.
5:06.
Just all black, just a black wave moved the Malden defense.
So Beverly on top here sends Ryan Barrer out to the right side. Amir Al-Shrafi to the right side as well. Make the handoff, reverse instead to the near side. Doesn't buy anything as Clark Marchand gets taken about a yard on that reverse in the handoff coming to the near side. They'll mark him back at the 40. Loss of about a foot, so we'll call it second and 10 for Beverly.
I'm sorry, my Rashad Moore and Cameron Williams. In on that tackle, not fooled by any of the deceptive move of the offense itself. Both stayed home and made the tackle.
Al-Shrafi and Barrer, again wide right. Single receiver far side. Lone back in the backfield. The pitch to the near side for Al-Shrafi, and he is met. He'll be dropped for a loss of about a yard on that. Moore in there on the tackle. Along with Brazil.
Yeah, did a real nice job from his left defensive end position. Just slid out following the quarterback's eyes. Saw the receiver right on him as soon as the catch was made. No opportunity to advance the ball.
Third and 11 for Beverly with a 7-0 lead here in the first.
Moore has great size, 6'2", 185. So tall, long.
Pat Parsons. Now wide to the right side with Amir Al-Shrafi. Single back again as they work from the near hash mark. Long count for quarterback Nick Berry. Drops back on third and one. Looks, fires downfield, has to lead the receiver in. It's a little too far for him on the far sideline. That's Clark Marchand down inside about the nine. So it is fourth and about a yard. Fourth and about 11 make that for the Panthers.
Well, he certainly put in a lot of air underneath that one. And He threw probably as hard as he could, and Marson just a step behind that ball. Again, perfectly, he was leading him right down to the end zone. Marson had at least a step and a half on the defender, but they just couldn't make the connection.
Eric DiPietro comes into the game now for the Panthers. Nick Berry with the play call. And Berry, back in punt formation. Will punt from his own 40-yard line, but remember he is the quarterback, and his two receivers looking for the punt. And it's Reggie Charles and Edward Bazile. Punt is end over end, bounces at the 20, back to about the 11, and it will be downed right about the 11-yard line. A little bit of contact on the out-of-bounds side of the sideline, but it's first and 10. For the Golden Tornadoes.
Nice job. That was a directional punt. He punted that away from the deep men down towards the far right corner of the field where the stands are, and he got the ball to turn over, got some excellent roll on that. So Malden will be starting deep in their own territory.
So it's a 33-yard punt. First and 10 from their own 11 now for Malden. Jose Montero has had to work from that pretty close in that neighborhood already. He'll be on the far hash mark. We're into an interesting schedule week for next week, as a number of games will be played Thursday night, then there'll be some Friday and some Saturday, and we're all looking at the hurricane, which may be coming up the coast and may have some impact on the schedule. Get to that in a second as Montero gets underneath his center, Martinell.
Puts in motion man to the near side. Hands the ball off to the tail to the left side. Trying to push the line forward. He'll get progress up to the 12-yard line. Make it the 13-yard line. Clark Marchand with credit for the tackle. And the ball carrier was Edward Brazil.
Brazil on the carry, brought down by...
So the gain is two. So we invite you to stay with us throughout the week and keep an eye on our postings here on MSO News Sports, and we'll tell you what our games of the week will be. Some of it's schedule dependent. Some of it could be weather dependent. We'll find out. You're looking at me.
I know. I just saw Davis score. They're up 7-0.
Oh, okay. Brazil wide out left side. End tight on the far side. Montero with 2nd and 8. Switches his backs. Rolls, looks, flags everywhere. 2 different flags. In trouble is quarterback Montero. He's back at the 5, but there are 2 flags in 2 different parts of the field. We'll see how they sort this out. Illegal shift against the offense. So Beverly's going to decline that. So Adams' tackle of Brazil is of quarterback Montero is good, and it will make it 3rd and about 16. They need to get to the 21, and they are at the 5, which in this early in this football game would be the worst field position that the Golden Tornadoes have seen. 1:45 to play in the first quarter. Brazil splits wide to the left. Cameron Williams flanked off to the left. End tight on the right side. Looking to throw as Montero throws through a crowd, and it's incomplete. Intended receiver was double-teamed. Intended for Cameron Williams, but coverage there by Nick Gonzalez and by Clark Marchand of the Beverly Panthers. So it sets up 4th in about a day. So 1:26 to play here in the first quarter. Beverly likely will get their hands back on the football in pretty good field position for the Panthers as they lead 7-0 here. And Rito Montuna, the punter, is punting from the back of his own end zone. Snap right where he wants it, gets the laces up, puts it in. Not a bad boot. It's some nice lift underneath it, and it goes out of bounds over on the 25-yard line.
Nice catch by one of the assistant coaches on the Malden team. Phil, can you take the headset just for a second? Sure. One of the questions that I asked Andrew in the preview was how much was going to change. He said nothing really. And that's what I've noticed about the team, that there's no real sense of urgency on either the offense or the defense to get things done. They're playing within themselves really well.
I would agree with you there, Tim. I mean, it's changed in the sense of the personnel, certainly, and maybe some of their basic plays. We're seeing a little bit of that misdirection that they like to run. They may be throwing a little bit more than they did under Kevin Morency last year, but you're right. And essentially, they're going at their own pace. I mean, it's 3 games into the season. They're still finding themselves. I think they feel as though a stop in Lynn, an early stop fourth quarter against Clarkson, they could very easily be 2-0. So there's no need for real wholesale changes now. They're looking to put it together today and get a win and get on that path that they'd like to be on.
Yeah. Malden had to call timeout. They only had 10 guys on the field. So that will now set up Beverly 1st and 10, deep in Malden territory after the 20-yard punt. The ball at the 25, hand it off, up down to the 20, to the 19-yard line. That is Clayton McAlpine
on the carry
with
the
football. They'll mark his forward progress down at the 18. So it'll be 2nd and 4, call it, for the Panthers.
Phil made the comment, he's a big guy, 6'1", 215. So once he gets ahead of steam going, you're going to have to really lock him up well to bring him down.
Paul Malumba comes out for the Panthers. And here's the handoff, left side of the line, still on his feet. going down, continues to get down, blows his way down inside the 5-yard line, and a flag at the time of the tackle, Amir Al-Sharafi.
There is a flag down on the field.
Was at the 18-yard line and got 13 yards on the pickup.
Let's see, was it a hold?
Let's see what how we sort this out. Conversation here.
It was a thrown away from the direction of the play.
Against the offense. They're going to walk it back.
Illegal shift.
So that'll take 5 off of that from the line. That was third to 21. Oh, wait a second. Okay. But why do they reset the downs and make it first down? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, because one of the Beverly players did come over without his helmet on. So I don't know if there was some kind of initiated tussle.
So it resets the downs. It's first and 10 from the 21 for the Panthers. Set. Handed off. Nothing there for Clark Marchand. Blew right through the line and dropped him back to the 26. So there'll be a loss of 5, and whistles everywhere.
Ismael Silas in on that play, coming in from the right side.
So we've come to one quarter here from Hurd Stadium, and Beverly leads Malden by a score of 7-0 on MSONewsSports.com.
The Bradford Tavern in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, the freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, closed Mondays. The restaurant features 2 separate function rooms ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our 3 locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Beverly leads Malden here by a score of 7-0 as we start the second quarter. Third Stadium. Marty Smith, Tim Kearns, alongside Phil Stacy.
On the Malden 24-yard line.
And Beverly with second and 15, working from the near hash mark, which is the left hash mark for Nick Berry. Berry. Waits, hands back, rolls, back at the 30, puts it up in the air, and it is pulled down on the far sideline.
Unfortunately.
Malden has intercepted the football down at about the 2-yard line. And that is going to be Edward Bazile with the interception, going step for step with a Beverly receiver downfield. And now Malden in territory they've been very used to on offense this afternoon because they're back inside their own 5-yard line. But now they've kept Beverly off the scoreboard, and the Panthers continue to lead 7-0. That's the opening play here of the second quarter. So Montero,
first down and 10 on their own 3-yard line.
From his own 3-yard line. Paulo Feisch, Clayton McAlpine for the Panthers. Just kind of hanging out a little bit. Malumba is in the game in the... It's Marjea Malumba, that is, in a linebacker spot for the Panthers defensively. Montero with Williams, Charles and Saidi in his backfield. Puts a man in motion. Slides the ball straight up at the 25. Breaks away from a tackle and pulled down by his ankles. Up to the 30-yard line. And that is Terry Saidi.
On the
great run. Found a gap in the line and just used quickness, speed, and strength. Got some updates from the Moynihan scoreboard.
7-0 currently here. Swampscott 21-0 over Winthrop. Danvers over Medford 21-0, and Fenwick and Pentucket after one are 0-0.
Rashad Moore tight on the right side, single receiver wide out to the left. Motion man comes to the near side. The ball goes on the ground and it's recovered by the Golden Tornadoes, and they will advance it back to the original line of scrimmage. So it'll be second and 10 as they've recovered their fumble. That's Reginald Charles picking up the football. So no gain, second and 10.
So, Phil, the Knicks have gotten rid of Carmelo Anthony.
Finally.
Cantor, McDermott, and a draft pick.
Bazile splits wide right, now shuttles across to the other side of the field and will be the lone receiver on the left side of the field on second and 10. And they pitch off to him left side, stutter steps, and coughs the football up. He got popped, and the Panthers are indicating that they have come up with the football. Mike Anderson, you sure that might be 23, Duncan Moreland? 33?
Fumble. Recovered by Mike Anderson.
Mike Anderson gets credit for the fumble recovery, and the Panthers now have the ball first and 10 inside of the 35-yard line of the Golden Tornadoes. Beverly on top, 7-0 with 9:11 to play here in the first half. Beverly puts Pat Parsons wide out left, looking to fire. Downfield into the end zone. Parsons, touchdown! Nick Berry to Pat Parsons.
Well, this is something new in the Beverly arsenal that we haven't seen going vertical. It's the third time today. Third time is the charm. For Nick Berry, he's thrown two long ones and just beyond the reach of his receivers on this one. Again, the receiver, Parsons, two strides behind two defenders. And again, Berry just firing it down the field all alone. He's already in the end zone when he gathered that in.
On to kick for Beverly.
So the recovery by Mike Anderson sets this one up. And there is the kick, and it is blown. Yeah. Blown off course, we'll say. So it is 13-0. And here's twice now that the Panthers on their scores have both been quick hitters. Second play from scrimmage for the first touchdown, yep, right out of the game with a long strike on that one, long run. And now this one here, right off of scrimmage, they go to the air.
I'll tell you, it was well designed. It was well blocked up front. Parsons did a great job of getting behind the defense, and Berry did a great job of getting that ball to him. He is just slinging it out there. How many yards was that?
It was a 34-yard touchdown pass. After Mike Anderson's fumble recovery set it up. 13-0 Beverly. Jack Laganis will kick the football off for the Panthers. And we'll be kicking back to Bazile. The kickoff is high, high, high and fielded by Reggie Charles. Charles up to the 20, runs the lane down the far sideline, finds all kinds of running room, or makes all kinds of running room up to the 38-yard line. There's a flag way back at the 20, however, and that might be how he was able to break free. It's back there where you would expect to find a holding call. They've waved the flag off, so the run back counts, and it will set up first and 10 for Jose Montero at the 34, 36-yard line That may be amongst the best field position that the Golden Tornadoes have had thus far in the football game, as we have 8:53 to play in the first half, and Malden trails 13-0. Later this afternoon, MSONewsSports.com is proud to present more high school football, Everett and St. John's Prep, here on MSO. So Montero keeps a single wide to the far side, working from the left hash mark as he moves from our left to our right. Motion man near side, hand it off to Cameron Williams, and Williams bounces up about a yard. The gain will be, call it 2, 2nd and 8.
Nick Gonzalez
gets credit for the tackle.
Tyler Gary also knifing through to take his feet out from underneath him.
2nd and 8. Ryan Barrer cheating up a little bit.
Great t-shirt down in front of us. Hard work beats talent when talent does not work hard. That says it all about all sports at all different levels.
2nd and 8. Bazile off to the left side, switches, comes back, calls some signals. They finally get themselves where they want to be. Empty single back now behind Montero. Motion man comes left to right. They give the pitch off to Bazile. Bazile has to cut back left side. Malumba gets through and just slams him. Bobby Adams also in on the tackle, but the initial hit is to Malumba.
Yeah, Clayton Alpine cut him off at the pass, forced him to go back up inside where Malumba and company just simply took him down. Coach Morenzi was really elated after that touchdown pass. He was slapping hands and high-fiving players along the Beverly sideline. So you know he's pleased with the way the team has performed to this point this afternoon.
We have two Malumbas on the Panthers and on the field at different times. That was Marjay Malumba.
Seems like
there's
been
tackle
a Malumba for
forever,
about 10 or 8 years now.
Montero fires. It's batted down by the Beverly Panthers. And this time batted down by Mike Anderson.
Reggie Childs didn't turn and look for the ball in his direction. May have been able to make a play on it had he turned, but he hadn't finished the route the way he thought it was anticipated.
Second big play for Mike Anderson. He ended the last possession for the Golden Tornadoes, which set up Beverly's second touchdown. And this time, on 3rd down and 11, he bats the ball down and prevents a first down yardage gain for the Golden Tornadoes. And Amir Al-Sharafi's back at his 35, anticipating a punt here. The snap is down. It's on the ground. It's picked up. And this has some nice height to it and some nice hang time. Al-Sharafi gathers it in at the 30, and he's tackled back at the 25. And the tackle there made by Edouard Bazile, who had time to stop and grab a sandwich. That ball was in the air so long.
Yeah, I'll tell you, he got down there in a hurry, and Al-Sharafi had no chance. He made the catch and turned to his left, and as soon as he took one step, Bazile put the wrap on him.
Net 42 yards on the punt, 35-yard line, 25-yard line, 1st and 10. 6 minutes, 58 seconds to play in the first half. Beverly on top, 13-0.
There is a breeze, but it doesn't appear to be impacting the ball in any fashion. Though that ball got up in the air currents and carried well.
We'll get to that in a second. We've got whistles on the field here, and timeout taken by Malden. You were talking about the breeze. The flag on the far side, the American flag, isn't moving at all.
Right.
All of our paperwork has kind of got it riffling in the breeze as the wind is blowing from somewheres, but it's lower to the ground than it is, and now the flag is moving left to right and then across the field. Yeah.
Decides to respond.
Yeah.
And the ribbons of the flag post are maybe we won't move. They're a little swirly there. But what a beautiful day here at Hurd Stadium. Because the only thing is, you know, the grass is beautiful until it rains, and then it gets not such a nice place to sit. And if the season went long enough where you had an early snow, might be a little difficult. You bring the sleds for, a little entertainment.
It's ancient history, but I recall a snowed-out football game on Thanksgiving.
Really?
1989, here at Hurd Stadium, actually. And it was played on that Sunday, and by then it was in the 70s, and there were just little piles of snow on either sideline.
When I was teaching in Maryland, the season ended in the first or second week of November. There was no Thanksgiving game.
Wow.
I was like shocking. So who do you guys play on Thanksgiving? You don't play on Thanksgiving. What's wrong with you people?
When I started, it was in upstate New York, and their season ends Halloween weekend.
Wow.
And the hockey teams are already playing then. So it's your Thanksgiving hockey rivalry that people are geared towards there, and that's still early in the season. Beverly in the stack eye, moving right to left. Handed off to the tail and on his feet, bringing it up is El Shaarawy, and El Shaarawy gets to the 20, over the 30, to the 32. The gain will be about 6, and it's 2nd and 4.
Nice run to the left. He had some block on the front to the left side, cut it behind the tackle, and wove his way into the second level. Good gain on first down. A lot of options for Coach Morency.
2nd and 4. Ryan Barrer, as we expected, looks like he'll be calling the signals on this series. Shifted over from his wideout position. We'll see. He's bringing the play call in, handing out the instructions. But Nick Berry's also still in the game, so it is Berry at quarterback. And Barrer does come out to the wide to the near side. Joined out there by Pat Parsons, who's now in motion. Comes in tight. Side steps off to the left side. Big pitch again. This time it's to McAlpine. McAlpine stutter steps, wants to get around, and he will be dropped for a loss back at the 30. That's Clark Marchand with the carry. And he'll be down at the 31-yard line. So the loss is only about 1. So 3rd and 5, we'll call it, for Beverly. 5 minutes and 35 seconds. Play in the first half. Phil Stacey will be Tim Kearns' guest at halftime. And I have to say, this might be the first time I've ever seen Hot Fudge Sundae served at a football game. It's pretty cool. They have them over at the concession stand.
Marty, can you hold the fort? Phil's job, and the announcing board?
Everybody's going to bail. Hand it off for McAlpine, and McAlpine will be spun around and dropped back to the 30-yard line. A little slow developing play as they moved it back, found McAlpine, and then the white jerseys came around and really bottled him up. So it sets up 4th and 5 for the Panthers.
Yeah, the last couple of plays were really slow developing for the Panthers. They're quite different from the quick hitting execution that we've seen.
Chris Curran comes in, which indicates the punting team is out for the Panthers. Back to receive the punt is Edouard Bazile. He's back at his own 25-yard line. Snap is high, gathered in. The punt is very, very nice. A little spiral down at the 37. Bounces high in the air. Malumba has it, but the ball is picked up instead by Bazile. It's a live football at the 40, the 45, over midfield, down to the 45, to the 40, and Angelonum will push him out of bounds at the 28-yard line. The touchdown-saving tackle is made by Braden Pratt of the Beverly Panthers.
Wow, they're going to call a penalty.
There's a flag way back at the
49-yard line of Malden on the return. Bazile was already around the corner. He was about at the 45-yard line. And one of the players barely put his hands on a Beverly defender who had turned to chase Bazile. And I looked to see if a flag was going to be thrown. I didn't see anything right away. And as I looked back, I saw the flag. Wow, how to take, you know, take all the steam out of the offensive thrust. Really alert play by Bazile as he watched Beverly players sort of gather around the ball and go up was a Malumba, and he alertly, while everybody was sort of confused as to what was going on, he picked it up and just took off around the far corner. But that penalty is just a killer. It brings it back to the 39-yard line.
1st and 10 from that spot, the left hash mark.
Session stand during the half.
From the 39-yard line.
Donuts out there, some hot fudge sundaes, pizza from Frida's.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Bye, Tim. All right, handoff in the backfield to Bazile, and Bazile is going to be smothered, and he'll be dropped for a loss. That's Terry Seide. Dropped for a loss of, call it about a yard, not quite a yard. We'll say he's just inside the 39, so it's 2nd and a long 10 for the Golden Tornadoes.
Oh,
Beverly's got Aaron Neves in on the defensive line.
Nick Gonzalez, I think, was in on that play.
Yep. Yep, McAlpine on the line. We're seeing
Nick Gonzalez,
Aaron Neves into the game for Beverly. In the center of the line, a three-man front for the Panthers. The pitch has dived off to the left side for Bazile, and he's got no place to go. He'll be dropped for a loss on what was actually a backward lateral to Bazile. Flag whistles blow, and it looks like Beverly is taking a timeout here as they pushed him back another 5 yards. So it's third and 14, make it. Duncan Moreland.
Duncan Moreland sniffed that out immediately and reacted to the play.
So third and 14.
3 yard loss on
the 3 yard loss.
Brings up third and 13.
The clock stopped with the timeout. 3 minutes 15 seconds in the first half. 13-0 Beverly. Big play first half for the Panthers. Both of their touchdowns coming. A 59-yard touchdown run from Clark Marchand and a 34-yard pass reception to Pat Parsons from the Beverly quarterback Nick Berry. Mondero now back in the shotgun, takes a three-step drop, looks, fires downfield, has plenty of height, but there's nobody in the neighborhood for 10 yards in any direction. Now, that's not actually true. There was somebody in the stands that was probably closest to that football.
Yeah, there was one receiver down along on the far side by the yard marker. There was another player over here on the near side by the 40-yard marker, and nothing in between, and that's where the ball landed. I don't know if it got blown off course, but it seemed to die up there.
Yeah, it did.
You know? I think you have to throw these more on a line, like inside, underneath the upper level of the stands across the way.
Fourth and 13, we're saying. Punting situation. Amir El-Shrafi.
How much time we got left, Marty? I can't see from my disadvantage point.
What's your question?
Time.
Retho Montuna for the Golden Tornadoes. Moore stays tight on the right, single back, in behind Montero. Third and long. Montero rolls out, has time. Now all of a sudden he doesn't. Gets away from a tackle, tucks the ball in, has to run with it, gets up to the 40, and up to the 43. The ball came out, but it was as the whistle blew, and he was down. So Montero looked. He had a single receiver way downfield, but just couldn't get himself set. As way down was Edward Bazile. He was down at the 20 or so. So he had time, and then he didn't. And I'm not sure who got in front of him, but it's fourth and three for the 44. Who had the pressure on him? Did you happen to see? 21, Paul Malumba. With the pressure, causing Jose Montero to have to roll out. He took one more step, looked downfield, couldn't find an open man because Beverly had flooded the defensive secondary and had to just...